Hi, Winedelusters. In this episode, I'm speaking to Italian wine ambassador, Cynthia Chaplin. Welcome to the Winedelust podcast. My name's Janine, and my real passion is travel, and my bucket list is to visit every wine region in the world. In this series, we are heading off from Australia and heading to Bella Italia. I'm speaking to wine experts living in Italy, and we'll share my travel tips on visiting wine regions. So pour yourself a glass and let's go exploring. I first heard about Cynthia listening to the Taste of Italy podcast with Wendy Holloway. Cynthia chatted all about women winemakers in Italy, and I loved that. I reached out, and while we couldn't meet up when I was in Italy, we chatted on Zoom soon after. Cynthia is based in Verona, which is famous for the home of Romeo and Juliet, but it's also surrounded by wine regions that she'll talk about. It is such a beautiful city, and I think it's well worth spending a few days here at least. Cynthia is super accomplished when it comes to wine. She's a wine educator, she's a sommelier, she's an author, and she's a Vin Italy International Italian Wine Ambassador. And she has her own podcast too, Voices, on the Italian Wine Podcast. She's so knowledgeable and so generous sharing that with us in this chat. Welcome, Cynthia Chaplin. Well, welcome to the Winedelust podcast. I really appreciate your time. You are a very busy, accomplished woman. You're a sommelier, a Wine and Spirits Education Trust educator. You're a writer. You're a consultant, among many other things that we will touch on. Firstly, how did you get into wine?
Oh, it's a funny story. I grew up in the United States in Ohio, which is very central and kind of the middle of nothing. And I won't tell you how long ago it was, but it was so long ago that no one drank wine in Ohio when I was a kid. So my parents didn't drink wine. You know, I knew there was such a thing, but I had no experience of wine. So I went to university in Connecticut in the East. And that's where I discovered wine. The food in the cafeteria was pretty bad, so I joined a private dining club, and once a month we had a formal dinner, and they would serve one red and one white wine with the dinner. And I just got very interested in how this went with the food and things. And so I spoke to the chef and said, you know, hey, how do you choose the wine? He said, I don't. The guy brings it to the door, and I say that and that. I decided that I wanted to take some classes and find out about it. So I was 19 when I started taking wine classes in the US, nothing formal at first, and never thought it would be a career. It just was a hobby, something I was interested in. And I moved to New York and to Boston and then eventually to London. And I've been in Europe now for 32 years. Yeah. So every time I moved, I got more interested in more classes and more wines and started, you know, really paying attention to wine lists and looking at how food and wine paired, started taking WSET classes, anything I could get my hands on in my spare time, really. So finally, I then became a mother and was very busy for 10 years. I have 6 children, so.
Wow.
there wasn't a lot of time for that. I think I drank a lot of wine, but I wasn't studying at all. After my children were all old enough to be self-sufficient, I didn't want to go back to what I had been doing in the past. So I started an events business and started doing wine events, started doing things like that. Eventually, I've moved all around Europe, and Italy has always been my favorite. So I've moved back to Italy. I became a sommelier in London and then became a sommelier again in Italy because they didn't want to accept my credentials from the Master Court of Sommelier in London. So I then became an Italian wine ambassador and eventually a professor of Italian wine and culture. So for the past 15 years, Italian wine has been my focus and my job. I'm very happy to say I'm very grateful and lucky.
Yeah, and that's amazing. So you've moved to Italy, you've been there 15 years. Did you know Italian before you?
Yeah, so in the early 90s, I lived just outside of Milan for about 4 years. Wow. And fell in love with it. It was the first place I ever really felt at home. People were very kind to me. My first 2 children were born there. And then I moved back to England and kind of pined to go back to Italy ever after that. So ultimately, again, when my children were all a bit bigger, I convinced my husband to make a move. So we planned it carefully and we moved to just outside of Rome. We lived in a lovely little town on the shore of Lago di Bracciano for 10 years. And then I moved up here to Verona just a few years ago, to take a job with Vinitaly International Academy. So
So I was going to touch on Vinitaly. Can you tell us about that?
Vinitaly, the wine and spirits exhibition, is a big event that's held in Verona every year. It's owned and operated by Verona Fiere, where I work. But several years ago, they spun off Vinitaly International Academy to, spread the Italian wine joy kind of thing. We certify people to become Italian wine ambassadors in a very, very rigorous course that takes a really deep, detailed look into Italian wine. Italy is the only country in the world that every single region makes wine. We are, one of the oldest winemakers in the world, 6,000 years of winemaking history here. And we have the most native grapes, over 500 native grapes here. So when you think about the fact that Italy is smaller in size than California, it's a very profound, layered, deep history of things to look at. So the course has developed over time. I'm really happy to say I was the curating editor for the textbook that we use. We just put out our second edition in January this year. So it's called Italian Wine Unplugged 2.0. Probably the most up-to-date book on Italian wines in the marketplace right now. Took up a good 18 months of my life doing
So
that.
anyone
But
can buy that? Anyone,
anyone can buy
yeah,
that. It's
great.
on Amazon. I'm really proud of it. It's a wonderful book. Our entire Italian wine ambassador community contributed to the book, and we have a wonderful chief scientist for the program, a very famous grape geneticist called Attilio Scienza. So he wrote some proprietary material for us, which is very interesting. So the Academy really seeks to be sort of the gold standard for Italian wine education. And hopefully we're living up to that. We certainly do try very, very hard.
And are the courses done online as well as in person?
They were during COVID, of course. Before that, they were all in person. And what has transpired post-COVID is now we have a two-part method of teaching the course. So it's a hybrid course where we have about 40 hours of study videos and online material that our students get access to. And they prepare all of that before they then come to our flagship location, obviously, is in Verona. And we do a 5-day course. They taste over 150 Italian wines. But we also do satellite courses. We have one up in Hong Kong, and that's a 3-day course, tasting 38 wines, but the exam remains the same. So you do the online study platform at home, you arrive in person, our faculty, which includes Sarah Heller, Master of Wine, and Henry DeVar, who's an Italian wine expert, they arrive in person and you do the tasting with them and then the exam.
That sounds so much fun. And I love that you can do it at home first, and then you just come and it's like 5 days out of your holiday. That,
Exactly. And the students who come to the flagship course in Verona, we hold it every year the week before the Vinitaly Expo. So they're in Verona, they have the opportunity to attend the expo if they want to, and all the events surrounding that. So that's a really wonderful, that's my favorite. I probably shouldn't say I have a favorite course, but that's my favorite is the Verona flagship. There's a real buzz in the city. It's always in April, late March or April, early April. So a really great time to be here. And our satellite courses we've had all over the world. We've had one in Hong Kong in the past. We had one in London last year, in Austria, in New York, in Houston, in San Francisco, Boston. So we've had them all around the world.
In Australia or New
Not
Zealand?
yet, not yet, not yet, not yet. But I never say never. Well, it's interesting because we now have, I believe there are seven certified Italian wine ambassadors in Australia. So, and one in New Zealand. He was the first one this year. So our community is very global. 1,200 people have taken the course at one time or another. and they come from 45 countries. We've got 370 certified ambassadors. It's very difficult to pass, but it's a great community. People really stay in touch and network and do a lot of things together, very active. And they come from all different parts of the wine sector, educators, journalists, sommeliers, importers, exporters, all kinds. So I wouldn't be surprised if we do a VIA course in Australia at some point.
Keep your eyes peeled. You're also a podcast host for Voices on the Italian Wine podcast. And I've listened to a few episodes, and mainly with different women that you've spoken to. And it's really interesting. The podcast has different hosts every day of the week doing different themes, perhaps.
Exact topics. Yeah. Absolutely. Yes, we are the only wine podcast that has a show every day of the week. And we've got on Monday, it's food, wine, and travel. On Tuesday, it is business. On Wednesday, it's myself with Voices, which is diversity, equity, inclusion. And Thursday, we have science. And Friday, we go to the producers. And we've got Next Generation on Sunday. So there's something for everyone with a different host for each one.
Yeah, that's great. And do you enjoy doing that?
I absolutely love it. I choose my own guests. I do all my own research. I write my own questions. So I'm allowed to be very independent, and it has given me the opportunity to really reach out to some people who would never have been heard and really get deep into a lot of topics. I can look at DEI in any way I wish. So I look at things like canned wine and sustainability practices and, you know, the use of language in teaching wine, and, you know, as well as barriers that BIPOC people or LGBTQ people or, you know, women have to getting into the industry, all different sorts of things. So I've been doing it now for just about 2 years, and I really love it. There's no end to people that I want to talk to.
Oh, that's excellent. Because you live in Verona, which there's so much right around where you are.
Yeah, absolutely. It's Valpolicella and Lugana and Custoza and Suave and, of course, Prosecco are all here. So there's a lot to do around here.
And also Franciacorta.
Yeah, that Franciacorta is our highest quality sparkling wines. It's champagne, basically, but we can't call it that.
No, and that's not too far away, though, isn't it?
It's right at the foot of Lago di Zeo. Probably halfway between Verona and Milan, really.
Yeah, wow. There's tons to see. What's your go-to Italian wine on a hot day? I know that you've got a special interest in rosé wines.
Yep, I do. Italian rosé, I think, is one of the most unsung heroes in the wine world at the moment. So I'm just about to finish a book, which hopefully will come out sometime next year, about Italian rosé. They've always been sort of the unloved cousin here. Wine producers will often deny that they make them because they're slightly embarrassed, but they were kept, you know, for the grandma to drink, that kind of a thing. But they're so interesting. There's just this huge diversity of rosé in Italy that is now starting to come to the forefront a bit more, using really interesting grapes. So we're not talking about, you know, pale pink Provence style. We're looking at some much more luscious, succulent, tangy rosés that are really exciting. So I do love a great Italian rosé. If I were going to be drinking a rosé today, it would have to be from Cantina Lunai in Liguria, over on the west coast of Italy. And it's called Mea Rosa, my pink. And it's made with a grape called Vermentino Nero. So it's a red grape, obviously. And it's very sea salty, tangy, pink Himalayan salt and pomegranate, cranberry, sort of with a little bit of bitter orange zest. Really delicious. Really, really delicious.
Oh, that sounds great. So what part of the coast is that? Because, I mean, a lot of people would know Cinque Terre, and then there's Genoa.
It's near there. It's near there. It's part of Cinque Terre.
Oh,
it's part of Cinque Terre.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, it's the Colli Lunai, so the hills there. It's part of the Cinque Terre.
I'm disappointed I didn't try that, because that sounds delicious. I tried a few whites when I was there, but yeah.
Great whites there. Vermentino, the white Vermentino from Liguria, really lovely.
Yeah, it's so interesting. The vineyards are on all the terraces, and how difficult it would be to harvest that. And there's a little monorail.
Well, it's technically called heroic viniculture, because each acre of land takes 1,200 man hours each year, you know, just throughout the summer and the harvest, because everything has to be done by hand. And it's treacherous. You know, you saw it yourself. It's incredibly steep. Mm. And you know, they can't get tractors up there quite clearly. So as you said, monorails to take the grapes up and down, but not the people. So
no, really. That's true.
If you want to meet some really fit people, you go talk to people who work in vineyards in Liguria, because they are up and down those terraces all day long. So very difficult place to grow grapes and make wine, but it's worth the effort because their wines are excellent.
What's your go-to in winter, do you think?
Wine is a time and a place for everything. But if I'm looking for something a little unusual, you know, kind of a little more floral, less tan and things like that, I'll go for a Ruque, which is a very ancient grape in Piemonte. And if I want something a little bit more robust, you know, elegant, sophisticated, I'll usually stay in that area, probably a Gattinara, which is a Nebbiolo from the Alta Langhe. So I can't afford to drink Barolo every day, but it's very similar style, kind of a sheer rosy red with that lovely note of sort of smoky tar, you know, beautiful, beautiful wine to sit by the fire with.
No, that sounds perfect.
My favorite producer there is a woman called Cinzia Travaglini, and their vineyard, she runs her vineyard with her husband and her two daughters, and their Gattinara is really special, very elegant, smooth, and it's very good for a nice cold night after skiing, things like that.
excellent, that sounds great. Italy is very famous for your Tuscany. Where's your sort of hidden gem that you like to tell people about? I mean, all around what you were saying about Verona has got lots of them, I think.
Yeah, Verona does. So Verona is just to the east of Lago di Garda. And on the west side of Lago di Garda is a very unsung region called the Valtenese. Great wines there. In Sicily, I am very partial to Mount Etna. The wines coming off of Mount Etna now are incredibly good quality, very underrated, very undervalued. That won't last long. So I tend to spend at least 10 days, sometimes a couple times a year in that region, exploring what they're doing there. They're making really elegant wines. They're very Burgundy in style, really interesting. Where else? Well, I am very partial to Marche, where they make Verdicchio wines. So on the eastern coast, on the Adriatic side, just a little bit further north than Tuscany, but on the east side.
Yeah.
And the Marche region is famous for their Verdicchio wines. Verdicchio is, again, a very old grape, making a lovely style of wine facing into the sea. So very interesting grape. And nobody goes to Marche, and it's a stunning area. So beautiful. Excellent. Places to go. It's a lovely town there called Ascoli, very beautiful.
And is it very difficult to visit the winemakers? I guess you do your research first to make a reservation in advance.
The thing is, nobody goes to Marche, so they're very happy for you to send them an email and say, you know, hi, I'm interested, can I come and visit? And they're very open to that sort of things. I mean, depending on where you are in Tuscany, unless you know somebody, it can be very difficult to see the producers you want to see. But in these lesser known regions, it's much easier. Umbria, our only landlocked region, they make some great wines. Sagrantino for a big hearty red, and Orvieto Classico for a lighter white style, things like that. And people don't venture over there to visit them. And Umbria is beautiful. Perugia and Assisi and Orvieto, the town itself. So great wines there. Also Calabria. Everybody sort of shoots through Calabria on their way to Sicily. And Calabria has some of the most beautiful beaches I've ever seen in my whole life. Very, very isolated, beautiful, rugged, rocky, lovely, stunning beaches with that water, you know, that looks like something from the Caribbean. Absolutely gorgeous. And they make some interesting wines there as well. In fact, I had a good rosé from there made with a grape called Galliopo. That was the grape that the ancient Greeks made their wine for the athletes.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, Calabria is an interesting place. Only place in Italy where they have spicy food, and I love spicy food. So
that's great to know. That's excellent. Thank you. That's excellent. And thank you for your restaurant tip. I went to the Bottega.
Oh, the Antica Bottega del Vino. That's a wonderful place. It's owned by the 13 historic families of the Valpolicella region. And I don't know if you got to see the wine list, but it's like a Bible. It's this gigantic book. So we, all of us, go there during the year when no one's around, because when it's the Vinitaly Expo, you can't get in the place. Packed.
And same when it's the Verona Opera's in town as well.
So. Yes, exactly. It's very famous. It's a beautiful, old, wonderful restaurant. The food is great and the wine is better.
No, it was excellent. We had a wonderful time there. So thank you for that tip. And good luck with your book. That sounds exciting. I'll keep an eye out for that. Thank you so much, Cynthia. It's been really lovely meeting you, and you've been generous with your time. And
nice to finally have the chance to chat with you.
By the way, I love your Instagram handle, the Kiss My Glass.
So, I'm glad you like it. Thank you.
All right, have a good day.
Thank you so much for listening. You can subscribe now to get each episode as they drop. You can also check out this podcast on YouTube and see pictures of the region and the people I've spoken to. Go to winederlust.com.au, that's winederlust.com.au, for everything discussed today. You can also subscribe to my newsletter to hear all about my upcoming events and other news. Till next time, happy wine travels.